out there in podcast land, you are listening to Unseen Footage. I am David Armstrong. With me, as always, is Claire Yale. Claire, how are you?
I am great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking back. We are here to discuss the movie Beetlejuice, which we just watched, and we're revisiting some old friends, Tim Burton and Michael Keaton, starring as the title character. Claire, we're just going to start right off the bat, because I'm very curious to know. What did you think of this movie? Did you like it?
Oh boy. I did not like this movie.
Okay.
I would say my main emotion is that I didn't like it. Is that an emotion?
That's hate would be an emotion. No.
My main
dislike.
My main thought is that I didn't like this movie.
Okay.
Here's how I want to say it.
Sure.
I don't have any desire to ever see this again in my life.
Okay. That's a fair assessment of it. It's an interesting sort of comedy. This is Tim Burton's like second movie,
right?
So this was just before he did Batman, and after Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So Burton's not really set in his style yet. It's kind of a weird movie.
When did you see this movie?
I saw it as a kid.
It's made in '88.
Yeah, so I saw it when I was probably first or second grade. I will say that there is an animated series that was based off of this movie. And I saw that first. So it was on Nickelodeon. It was just a cartoon, run-of-the-mill cartoon. Beetlejuice was a crazy character. Lydia was a friend in the living world, and they would have adventures, crazy adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And
so nothing like the movie.
So that was what threw me for a loop the first time I saw it, was that I was expecting just a movie version of the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything like that. It was my first exposure to, like, oh, this is weird. It's a weird sort of movie. It was my first exposure to, like, people swearing in movies.
Yeah.
Because Beetlejuice swears.
He swears. He says the F word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He, like, grabs his crotch and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a perv.
He's a total perv.
He's a total perv. Perving on Gina Davis the whole time.
Yes.
So there's
and
that.
And then on, like, questionably a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
We don't know how old she is. She's referred to as a child.
Yes. She goes to an all-girls school at the end, which is normally... That's normally below high school, right?
Normally what, K through 6?
Sure. Yeah, K through 6, I would say. But she... Yeah, so it was a complete departure. But I think I grew to like it, because I didn't just watch it once. So I saw it a couple more times, and I appreciate it. I like it a lot.
Do you like it now as much as you did when you were younger?
You know what I will say? This is probably like my 7th or 8th time that I've watched it for this podcast.
What?
Yeah. Yes, I know. Unbelievable, I know. But I will say that I didn't enjoy it as much this time around. I think the last time I saw it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
So I found myself, I won't lie, I skipped through like some of the slower parts, and I was like, I think I get the general idea of this, and then I skipped forward and was like, I don't need to watch this. I remember this sequence enough that I don't have to watch this whole thing.
We have exact opposite feelings about this movie.
Oh, okay.
I think. Because the slow parts, to me, are the most compelling parts of this movie.
What? what do you mean?
What I mean is that I think, like, the moment where the dad and the stepmom are, like, sitting outside on that weird part of the house.
On their weird patio. Yes.
Weird patio. And they're, like, thinking, is this a good idea? Should we have done this? You know, should we have moved here? That's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie.
Why?
Because because there's a little bit of relatability there.
Oh,
and
okay.
There's a little bit of humanity in that moment.
Right.
Where, like, we're in this world that's, like, teetering on the problem with Labyrinth, where we're teetering on zero rules.
Yes.
And I don't like zero rules.
Sure, sure.
Because I want there to be some kind of established norm. And
right.
Even in, like, there's no straight characters.
Yes.
And they're kind of, I guess the closest thing to a straight character is, like, Gina
Davis
and
Alec
Baldwin.
Baldwin.
But they're dead, and they're, like,
right,
figuring out this death thing. So we see these two humans who have moved to made this huge decision to move
right.
their whole lives.
It's,
and we finally
it's Catherine
see
O'Hara
them.
And Jeffrey Jones.
Right.
So, they move, and they're making this big decision.
Right. And this is the first time we see them, like, finally kind of dealing with it.
Right.
and that's it's compelling to me.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I don't think I said, like, in the last episode, I think I said in Point Break, like, I accept moments if they are earned, and I don't think that was an earned moment for me, because right off the bat, well, like you said, Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin are our first two characters in this movie, and they're kind of cute and quirky. They're a little off-center already, so you're already like, okay, this is kind of a weird world that we're entering. Then when we first meet Catherine O'Hara and Jeffrey Jones's character, the Dietzes, they are, right off the bat, like, inhuman, like, to a sociopathic level. Like, Jeffrey Jones is like, I just want to relax. And Catherine O'Hara is like, mean to him. And I'm like, how are these two married? So that moment where they're like, oh, was this a good idea? And they're talking like a real couple that made this decision. I was like, no, this is inauthentic to me.
Yeah, I guess I felt like the whole movie is inauthentic. So that moment of authenticity was like,
it floats above
look,
it.
I can see you guys.
Right.
But I totally agree. I don't think these people should be married.
No.
I think that there are plenty of conversations that need to happen before they move to a small town in Connecticut.
Right.
Like that, her first thing when he jumps out when they're like redecorating.
Yes.
And he's like, you can't just take away my whole house. I'm here for relaxation. And she's like, art is my life. You can't take me away from that. It's like, that's a conversation to have in New York City.
Before you moved. Yeah. Exactly.
That's something that you really should have.
Like, how did this get not talked about?
Right. How did you get to this step?
Right. Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, the characters, I guess the characters are a little inconsistent, I guess we could say. What did you think of, we touched briefly on her, what did you think of Winona Ryder, who plays Lydia, a possibly 14-year-old girl in this movie?
Maybe 12, maybe 16, that's the range I would give her.
Yeah, like 12 to 16?
Yeah.
Not 18? You wouldn't think you definitely think she's underage.
I do, because Gina Davis regularly calls her a child.
Yes.
She's referred to as like, oh, but that child outside the window saw us, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So you wouldn't write a line child unless you mean it. Like,
yes.
You would never call an 18-year-old a child.
Right.
Maybe a girl, but not child.
Yes.
I think.
I think
she's 16.
Yes. Okay.
To 12. 12 to 16.
Okay. And so she wasn't, I feel like she, not even her, I guess, but like I thought that she was like the character that we were supposed to relate to, or...
Yeah.
Was she our in to this world or this character?
That's the thing,
or these
like,
characters?
Who is this movie about? Because it's called Beetlejuice, but Beetlejuice is in like 10% of the action, maybe 20.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't figure into the story for the first, I think, 40 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, something...
It's something insane.
Right.
For him being the title character.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he's in like 10% of the movie.
Yeah. And I don't think it necessarily has to be about like one specific person, but...
But we're not sure who it's about.
We're not sure, yeah, who... Well, I guess Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
But...
I think it's their story.
I think so, too.
But that's not immediately clear, I guess.
Right.
I guess you could say. Because it does kind of shift.
Right. I think, like, if it's their story, let's hit it harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, we see they're kind of this, like... really cutesy couple, like you said at the beginning.
Right.
They die within like 5 minutes.
Yes.
Which I don't really have a problem with.
Yeah.
But we don't see a lot of them reacting to being dead because they want to get to the plot quickly of like the folks moving in.
Right.
So, I don't know.
They get very confused. So then we can talk about this. Because I feel like that transitions into this world. So Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis die.
Mm-hmm.
They're given a manual with no other explanation other than here's your manual now that you're dead. They kind of surmise that they're dead through the reflection. They try to leave the house and they can't leave the house.
They fall into a Salvador Dali painting.
Yes. And when it's a very quick moment, but Gina Davis pulls him back and says, you've been gone for 2 hours. And, like, they just gloss over that moment.
Right.
So that's fine. Then they go to
Is
the...
it fine?
I mean, it's fine with me. But then they go to the netherworld, or I don't remember what it's called in the movie now. But they eventually meet... They go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They find that it's very bureaucratic and mm-hmm. departmental. And they eventually meet their caseworker, Juno.
Yep.
Who is fantastic.
Yeah, she's great.
I liked her.
I really like her.
I think she's like a great yeah. little moment in this right. in this movie.
Yeah. And I read somewhere that they won the Academy Award for makeup.
Yes.
For this film. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy it with Beetlejuice's makeup. Maybe just because it's 25 years old now.
Sure.
But with hers, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, she smokes and it comes out of the slit in her
Yeah,
like, in
I
her
noticed that.
Neck.
Mm-hmm.
She, yeah, I really like her.
Yeah, so Juno is fantastic, but it doesn't... You would hope that that character brings the new foundation to everything and, like, sets all the rules and, like, this is what you have to do now. And it... Did you... So, I'm guessing you didn't feel like we weren't on any more of a stable platform than
right.
we were before Juno.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I think that you're totally right, that that's kind of the key moment where... Crazy things have been happening, and now as an audience member, I'm looking for verification or justification,
yeah. right.
A foundation.
Yeah.
Not everything has been arbitrary. There are real reasons that, you know, you go outside your house and this happens, or whatever.
Yeah, she's the Cheshire Cat in Wonderland, who, like, after
yes.
a couple weird things, then Alice can be like, what is happening in the Cheshire Cat should answer all the questions.
Right.
Juno doesn't really.
Right.
yeah.
Yeah. And she even establishes more arbitrary things. like, they have to be in their house for 125 years.
Yes.
Why? Like, why?
Because they're ghosts.
Yeah, but that... all that takes is one sentence of, like...
yeah.
You know, the first person who ever died was stuck on...
Right.
Whatever, for 125 years, and
right.
so history repeats itself. I don't know.
That was anything.
Like, yeah,
you were just looking for anything at that
anything.
Point. Okay.
And I feel like she comes in, she just says, deal with it.
yes.
And then she goes away.
Right. And then she doesn't... I don't remember what the last question is, but they're like, and what? And how do we find you?
Yeah.
And she doesn't answer and just disappears. just disappears.
Yeah.
I will say, like, 5 or 6 years ago, that made me laugh. That was, like, one of the funniest moments in the movie to me. This time I watched it, I was like, huh, what just happened?
Why?
They didn't write a line? What happened?
yeah.
yeah, I was confused.
I'd almost given up on you. I was about to leave. I do have other clients.
Are you Juno, our caseworker?
Yes, I evaluate individual cases and determine if help is needed, deserved, and available.
Are you available?
No. What's wrong?
We're very unhappy.
What did you expect? You're dead.
We want to get
rid of you. There's just no justification for a lot of choices that they make.
Mm-hmm.
They make these choices, they film them, it happens in the movie, but there's not a justification as to why.
Yeah.
My biggest example is, there's two. One, that Winona Ryder wants to kill herself. Which I kind of buy a little bit, because
yes.
she wants to, like, join them.
Sure.
But her letter should have been like, I want to join my new cool fake parents. It
right.
shouldn't have been like, I'm so alone, I hate every... Like,
right.
it's inconsistent with...
Yeah, it's a weird characterization moment
yeah.
that she... Yeah. I also, by the way, as a tangent to that, associated with that, I guess, but I didn't understand that relationship.
Yeah.
Them, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis's characters to Lydia. I don't know why they were so connected. I get that they're very caring to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, that was, like, the next thing. Like, if they had lived, their next step would have
right.
been to have children.
And they say that in the beginning. There's, like,
oh,
that
yeah.
moment where
the realtor
is,
right.
like, for a family. And they are sensitive to that.
Right.
But... That whole theme is lost.
Yes.
And then they try to resurrect it.
Hey-o.
At the end.
Right.
But, again, like, that's just one line of dialogue. Like, we've always wanted a family.
Right.
Look, we can have a family.
Yeah.
And then we remember that they talked about that at the beginning.
Exactly.
But
they
do
it in
that.
A... They have a very inauthentic line. I think they tried to pull it off, and they didn't. And the line that I was thinking of was, they're about to go back. They have, like, the Juno's like, morph your faces or whatever. I don't know what she yeah. asks them to do, but they decide that to modify their faces, yeah. and they have, like, the weird grotesque masks, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And as they're walking back to the house, they're like, well, we have to do this. We have to, you know, whatever. And Gina Davis's character says, I want to be with Lydia. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
I didn't understand what connected you to her.
Right.
To make that moment. That moment should have felt like that.
Right.
That should have been like, oh my gosh, this is what they wanted all along, to yeah. be a family. And
right.
it's like, no.
And it's like, why do you feel connected to this girl?
Right.
She was just mad at all of you because she thinks Beetlejuice is connected to you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel that it was inauthentic, too.
Right.
And not connected.
Yeah.
To the...
I think it's all very messy. It's what happens in movies where you're asked to buy into a whole world.
Right.
That they have to create.
Mm-hmm.
And they have only a limited amount of time to do it in. So they
yeah.
have 90 minutes to... this is an hour and a half movie. They have to get you connected to these characters, the Maitlands, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis. I feel like you have to hate the Dietzes. I'm not
right.
sure if they're initially like the villains or like the
right.
small antagonists or whatever
yeah.
you want to call them. And then you have to introduce Beetlejuice.
Right.
And then you have to introduce this whole bureaucratic world of why is it so difficult to be a ghost.
Right.
And so things get lost
yeah.
on the way.
Yeah, that's everything's kind of muddled. Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
there's so many motivations going in. These people want these folks out of their house, but just because they don't align with the way they lived, not
right.
because of anything else, really. And then the Dietzes want to make money now on their newfound ghosts.
Right.
And then Beetlejuice just wants to be a nuisance.
Yeah.
Kind of. So I just think there's so much going on that, like, cut the Beetlejuice character. This is my proposed
Whoa.
Version. We're jumping into
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
Cut the Beetlejuice character.
Okay.
And get to the people.
Okay.
Dead people and alive people.
So then what if, like, because they kind of introduce it and it's a little late in the game, but if it was, like, the Maitlands die and they, for whatever reason, like, you know, however they want to do it in the story, they realize it's a haunted house, and the Dietzes move in because they are interested in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would that have made it... I feel like there's an inherent conflict that's immediate
right.
there.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, trying to get these ghosts to come out, and so the Maitlands trying to scare them is only encouraging them...
Right.
...to stay.
Right, yeah.
So then what do you do?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then, okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, the Maitlands, we need to see a little bit of a change happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's enough that they've died.
Right.
If that's an okay sentence even to say. Because they are, at the beginning we see them, just the two of them.
Right.
And they're super in love.
Yeah.
And, like, goo-goo gaga over each other.
Yep.
That's the official term.
Yes, that's the scientific term.
Yes, goo goo gaga over each other.
Exactly.
They want to have a vacation where they just stay in their house.
Yes.
And then they die.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can be uninterrupted in their house.
Yes.
For a time being.
Yeah.
We find that time to dead people is a little different.
Yeah, it's irrelevant almost.
Yeah. Yeah. So I almost feel like those characters would relish in that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Aside from the whole weird thing that you would go through if you died.
Right.
Like, oh,
they're so thrown off. Yeah, they're
exist?
So thrown off by it.
Right.
That they don't know what to do.
Yeah. But they're not asking the questions that I want them to ask.
Yes. I think that for me is, I think, what mostly frustrates me about the movie is I'm fine with a clueless protagonist up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I feel like there have to be things that get answered for the audience and
right.
not necessarily for the characters in
mm-hmm.
the movie. So the fact that they never get any answers, but like you said, they're also asking terrible questions to get there.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, you're doing this wrong. Like,
yeah.
I would have studied the manual by now.
Right.
And I would have figured this all out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing? They are literally just moping around the house.
You have nothing but time. Just read right. the manual.
Right.
You know, hang out and do nothing for a little bit.
Right.
Maybe this was all a bad idea.
I didn't say anything. Oh, who are we kidding, Charles? You've never had a bad idea.
Yeah? Yeah, this could all work out. Home. Though, I'm not sure that this is the right environment for Lydia. Snakes? Ghosts?
Shrimp.
Are you family types? You've got other things to worry about. Maxie Dean's coming up here tonight. You've got to figure out a way to sell these ghosts. I can only do so much.
What are you going
to
do, Otto? Viciously rearrange their environment?
I know just as much about the supernatural as I do about interior design.
I want to talk about this. You didn't like Beetlejuice. Didn't like him. Too much? What was it? Like, you didn't like him as a character?
I still don't know why we needed him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he did, aside from just being like, he is sort of funny and interesting.
Yeah.
As an idea.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that I think that he was funny and interesting.
Yes, okay.
Not suggesting he was totally boring.
Sure.
I wasn't like, just get me out of this movie situation.
Right.
Just not your thing. But
just
yeah,
not your thing.
Not my thing.
No, I get it.
I just think, like, every time he came in, I was like, are you helping to forward the plot?
Mm-hmm.
Are you helping to forward the characters?
Right.
Do we understand anything more about anything? No to all three.
Okay.
So I'm like, why are you here?
I think he is ultimately self-serving,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it does get established pretty well that he is kind of an agent of chaos that, like, if you involve him, it's going to be problematic for everybody.
Right.
And it's very problematic to uninvolve him.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's, like, kind of their last resort, and, like, even Juno's like, no, like, don't, like, that shouldn't be your last resort at all. It shouldn't be an option.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there is a danger established for him. But then, for me, I guess the problem would be that he's not a menacing enough character to me.
It's mostly sort of benign.
It's mostly for the humor and the fun of it. Initially, it should be off-putting that, oh, he's, like, kind of a fun, and so we kind of get drawn in by him. But then there's nothing sinister, really, about him underneath that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't scare me.
Right.
And I feel like it should have. I feel like he should have been a scary character.
Yeah, I think you're right. If they want to keep Beetlejuice and do the same things he did with them, it has to have some kind of point where everyone's like, this is actually very dangerous.
Yes.
And marrying a minor is not that moment.
Which is weird, because in most other movie worlds, that would have been the moment.
Right.
But it wasn't in this.
Even in the real world, that's the moment.
Definitely in the real world.
But here it's not, and I know why.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was a bold claim. But again, it's unjustified.
Yes.
He doesn't have a real reason that the audience sees that he has to marry her.
Yeah.
He even says something like, I don't have rules. And then it's like, well, if you don't have rules, then, you know, like, maybe you want to rule hell, but you need to have a wife to rule hell.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're going to take this little child down to hell, and that's scary.
Yeah. If that had been something that Juno said, or like, oh, they have a daughter? Oh, then, like, definitely don't bring Beetlejuice into it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's a pedophile ghost, you know, which he clearly is.
Clearly is.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I'm still like blown away that your first thing to do would be to cut the title character from this movie.
Because it's so arbitrary.
It's so mind blowing.
When I saw that this was who the movie is named after,
yeah,
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I feel like the only reason they called it Beetlejuice is because they couldn't think of another title.
Yeah. Well, did you read about what the other titles they had
No.
were? I can't remember what the initial one was. I feel like it was something like, Ghost House. Like, something really benign and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, non-committal like that. And Tim Burton was the one who pushed for it to be Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. I feel like because they wanted it to be a franchise character eventually. Right. They had sequels plans. That's why at the end, I know you wanted to talk about the ending, but like the tag sort of ending where Beetlejuice is just in the office and he is like waiting for his number to be called.
Right.
So they added that in so that there would be an option for a sequel.
Right.
Like he could come back later. Mm-hmm. And the funny one that I read was that they really did not want it to be called Beetlejuice. Probably for the same reasons. You're like, he's not in it.
Who is that guy?
Who is Beetlejuice? Like, can we name it after somebody else in this movie? Right. But Tim Burton, as a joke, was like, okay, well, let's call it Scared Sheetless. So, you know, because of the one scene where they have the sheets on. Which is very funny. I like that sequence.
Yeah.
But he said it as a joke, and the executives were like, I like it. Let's do it. And Tim Burton was like, no, I was kidding. And then he like pushed for Beetlejuice to be the name. So yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Cut him. Get him out.
Cut him.
Get him out.
Scared Sheetless. You'd have preferred that?
Scared Sheetless. One thing I did really like is when they go to the other side.
Yes.
I love that depiction of just the afterlife. Or like it's just this waiting room.
Yes.
It's just really, I thought that was really creative and the way that, you know, that all plays out. An example of a good justification is when all of the civil service people are people who have committed suicide.
Yes.
I thought that was so funny. And then they mention it in the real world,
right.
Which gives it a justification.
That's right. They tell Lydia...
Public service. They're talking about suicide, and he's like, "You know what they say? You're going to be a public service person in the afterlife." And then it's like, "Oh wait, they all were."
Right. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. Which made me wonder, how did Beetlejuice die?
Yeah.
Because he starts out in public service as Juno's assistant.
That's right. So he killed himself.
He must have. But I don't know how. I wish we knew that, too.
Yeah. It was like a backstory not explained.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then we could see even a little bit more humanity in him, I guess.
Yeah. And or at least, like, a reasoning for anything that he's doing.
Right.
Or, like, he got... Like, was he rebelling against public service? Or... I don't know why he became what he became.
Right. Yeah.
In terms of, like, he was a, what's it called, a bioexorcist.
Uh-huh.
So does he really hate the living or...
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But he wants to go back to being living. That's
is
why
that
he...
Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's what I always thought when I think when I was younger, I do remember, that when I was younger, I thought, like, because for me to justify the wedding, I don't listen to the movie. I just justify things in my own head. And I was like, oh, the reason that he wants to marry Lydia is if he marries Lydia, he's going to live again.
Yeah.
So.
I just realized why you like so many movies.
Because I just make it up in my head? Yes. Yep. That's exactly what happens. I think that's just, and then my nostalgia for it is my memories of movies. Yep.
Your this own self-written movies.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
With images.
Beetlejuice is a masterpiece in my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full of character development and plot intricacies.
Yeah.
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
What I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, I know what you're asking me. Can I be scary? What do you think of this? You like it?
Excuse us, please.
Sure, talk amongst yourselves.
That was another character I wanted to talk about was Otho? Otho?
Oh, yeah, Otho.
Catherine O'Hara's kind of assistant.
Right. I guess assistant.
Interior decorator.
Right.
Very good friend, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he manages to get the book, the manual we've been talking about, for the recently deceased. Diseased. That was a good joke.
That was a really good joke.
Good timing on Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The recently deceased. And he performs a seance.
Mm-hmm.
What he thinks is a seance, initially. actually turns out to be an exorcism, which is why they're dying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's happening. He's exorcising them of themselves?
He's exorcising the house of the ghosts.
Oh.
So it's quote-unquote killing them.
Right.
They're not being killed, but they're being removed from the house.
Where would they have gone?
I don't know.
Plot hole!
Oh.
Also, how do they come back? Plot hole!
Wow, two plot holes. Jeez. I think they go to the Room of Lost Souls. That's the only reason they show that lost souls.
You're so right.
I don't know why they come back.
I don't either. Because she brings back Beetlejuice to bring them back, but he doesn't.
He doesn't do anything.
No. They just, like, are okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets rid of Otho, which...
And that's why? Oh, maybe.
Maybe.
But he doesn't even know what he's doing.
No.
He didn't realize that he was exorcising them instead of just seancing them.
Right.
Seancing.
Yeah. I didn't even realize he was exorcising them.
Yeah, that's why they're dying.
Right. I get it now. I have clarity on that one moment.
One moment. That's what I bring to you.
That's all I needed.
Okay. So then what else? What else do you want to talk about?
One just like thing that I just don't even buy that they die.
Oh.
You gotta give us a better death.
Yeah.
I do think it was funny that the dog moves and then that's why the car falls in.
I like that joke.
But it's not a terribly big amount of water.
Right. They do land upside down.
Do they?
The car...
It goes like this?
Yeah, the car's on the roof.
Their windows are already open.
Mm.
And I guess maybe if it goes upside down, they could break their necks.
Yeah.
But I just think if it's fairly shallow, they maybe died. Okay, I'm talking through it and I'm buying it
more
now. You
talked yourself into it.
Yeah. Because at first I was like, not that big of a body of water. Windows are already open.
Yeah.
So all you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is hold your breath and swim out.
Exactly.
It's that easy.
I don't remember if they were wearing their seatbelts or not, but they probably might not have been, so they didn't have to free themselves of the seatbelt.
And there's two of them, and I feel like in crisis mode, you can be like, I'm signing, which you couldn't see because it's
audio
podcast. Like, hold your breath, let's go.
Okay.
You know, help each other.
Right.
You're in love also.
Yeah. So you have a language.
So you understand each other.
I see.
I don't know.
I know that in an original, like, one of the older drafts of it was they wanted, a lot of the tone got lightened as it went along.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the original things was that they wanted the death was more graphic.
Yeah.
So that was like a more violent kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Beetlejuice to be much more menacing.
Yeah.
And I don't say it lightly. I just know that this was one of the original things. Instead of a wedding, it was a rape. So it was Beetlejuice was going to attempt, you know, to sexually assault Lydia.
Right.
And the Maitlands ultimately stop him.
Right.
They don't know how, but that was like the original sort of thing. So it was like a lot more violent, a lot darker. So I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think ultimately, I don't know that I would have appreciated that movie.
Right. I guess you're right.
I feel like I would have been absolutely like disgusted by this movie. So I think by lightening up everything and making it ultimately a comedy.
Yeah.
Helps it rather than hurts it, but I think it's maybe it messed up all the sort of consistencies, characterizations, but I don't know.
I think you're right.
I feel like I would have been totally turned off by a movie like that.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like they just diluted it instead of just making a lighter movie. Like, just make a solid movie that's just lighter in tone.
Right.
Instead of like just...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Putting water on it.
Right. Like, let's not do that. Let's do this instead.
Right.
Instead of, like, starting over.
Yeah.
Like, let's try and do a new movie or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Lydia, favor us about your ghosts.
No. I am sick of that subject.
Oh, Delia, lighten up.
I would rather talk about...
Daylight come and me wan go home. Otho,
Are you doing
work
this?
Work all night on a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we want to go home.
There's one moment, though, that we talk. So you mentioned that the Deets are mean. Like, they're kind of, you're not supposed to like them so much.
Yeah.
But I feel like when the agent walks out and he's like, you are horrible, your art is horrible, and you've always been a disappointment to me.
Yeah.
I think that's really mean. That's still a moment that feels, like, very mean to say to someone.
Right. But again, like, I haven't gotten behind Catherine O'Hara's character.
Yeah.
To be sympathetic to that moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, her sculpting is horrible. And she's a horrible person, as I've seen now.
I don't know if she's... I feel like she's not a horrible person, though. I feel like she's kind of delusional. But she's not, like... She's not, like, hurtful. She's just self-obsessed.
Yeah.
But I guess you can crush those people, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, she's not very nice. I feel like she's really... inconsiderate to Jeffrey Jones's character, her husband, and I feel like she certainly doesn't treat Lydia like a daughter. I think she's very mean. Like, it's a very stepmotherish, to be stereotypical, stepmotherish kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's very along that line. Mm-hmm. So I'm not feeling sympathetic to her by the time her agent walks out on that. I'm like,
maybe. I guess I felt bad for her because she's such a pathetic person. And she has this, like, one idea of her art, and, like, her status is so important to her, and it just crumbles her status in front of other people, which for some reason I think that's so sad.
Yeah, it does suck. I think even more than that, it was the backhanded line that he said in the middle of the party, where he was like, now as Delia's agent, I have lost a lot of money on her.
Right.
I was like, whoa, like, wow, that's rude.
Yeah.
That one, to me, was even worse.
Yeah, you're sitting, like, at her dinner table right now.
You're a guest. That's rude. but yeah. So I don't know. The characters, I think it just goes back into what you were saying. Like, the characters are just inconsistent enough.
Right.
That I was like, if I was supposed to feel bad for her in that moment... I didn't.
Right.
Because I've already decided in my mind, in the movie that I'm writing in my head, that Catherine O'Hara is the villain. So I don't need her to feel... I don't need to feel bad for her. So I don't know.
Yeah. I guess because they establish Beetlejuice kind of also as a villain.
Right.
I don't really think of her as a villain, as more of just, like, an annoying character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because it's also, like, for Beetlejuice, I don't know if he's the villain, because, like, when I watched it this time, I got excited again when she's arguing with him. She's like, please, like, save, you know, the Maitlands and all this stuff. And he's like, you gotta marry me and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, and she does it. And then she, like, says his name. And then she says his name the third time. And he's like, it's showtime. I was like, oh, yes. This was, like, I thought we were gonna, like, this is gonna be, like, the cool third act, like, finale. And, it was fine. It was fine.
So what you got excited about was a good line reading by Michael Keaton.
It was a really good line reading. Yeah. It still got me.
Right.
It still got me. And I remember being like, yeah, this is when... And then, like, I thought he was, like, riding in as, like, the cavalry to, like, save everybody. And then he still goes through the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't change.
I don't know.
It doesn't change.
But nobody changes.
That's true.
Nobody changes in the movie.
I thought you were talking about life.
Like, philosophically?
I was like, wow. Okay, here we go.
No, yeah.
Oh, no, I just forgot what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, no.
Michael Keaton. I wanted to talk about Michael Keaton.
Oh, sure.
And Tim Burton, because this is the second time that we've looked at them.
Yeah, we've talked about Batman, I mentioned already. But so this was their collaboration before Batman.
He looks nothing like what he looks like in Batman.
Right.
Is he actually that much heavier, or... Like, his face is so much heavier.
I think that's prosthetic. Makeup? I think that's prosthetic and stuff like that.
So I guess that is some good makeup.
Yeah.
Because I was like, he's significantly chunkier.
Right. Because Batman, I don't think he lost much weight for Batman, but like his, some of his movies before this were, he's like a thinner guy.
Right.
Like, he's not chunky like Beetlejuice. So, like, Beetlejuice look unrecognizable.
Yeah.
When I'm like, if you were to say, like, is that Michael Keaton? I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Right.
He looks completely different. Yeah. Yeah. He looks completely different from his other movie appearances.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So someone that we were talking about Beetlejuice with some friends, and someone said that it was a campy movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's like making fun of this style. But I feel like I still don't even really buy that this is like making fun of mm-hmm. other movies like this.
Yeah.
Because what's the purpose of making a full movie, a satirical movie?
Yeah.
I don't really like that.
Yeah. I think you wouldn't be asking yourself that or saying that to yourself if you liked the movie.
Right.
Like, if it's satire and it's pulled off well, like, I can think of a bunch of movies that are supposed to be making fun of the movies that they're portraying, that they're mm-hmm. parodying or whatever, satirizing, but they are effective in their own genre.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you've seen... Have you seen Scream?
No.
So...
I haven't seen Scream.
Okay. Well, like, Scream is like a send-up of all those slasher kind of serial killer horror movies, mm-hmm. right? In itself, it is a good movie of that genre.
Yeah.
But it's also sending up like all the tropes and all the things you would see in that right. movie. Sometimes subverting them, sometimes portraying them like, and now they're like the prime example of mm-hmm. those tropes.
Mm-hmm.
So Beetlejuice, yeah, I know like the B movie kind of things that Tim Burton's making fun of.
Right.
I don't think it's satirizing them successfully.
Right.
I think it was trying to be its own thing.
Yeah.
And you can, I think more, it's more like it's Burton trying to find what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you watch his later movies, it's a little more fully realized.
Right, absolutely.
And you can see all the beginnings of his style mm-hmm. in this movie.
Yeah, it does feel like that. It just feels like a young Burton film.
Right.
That's a very, like, just real way to describe this film.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily feel in Batman.
Right.
I think because Batman is an established story already, so you just get to put, like...
He can only do so much.
The Burton umbrella on it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is all new.
This is his own thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that calling it campy or calling it a satire is... As much as I like it, I still like it. Giving it a little too much credit.
Right.
I think it's just a young director who is just trying to figure out what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And getting his first real chance to do it.
Because
mm-hmm. Pee-wee was also an established character, so that was like, him getting to work on Pee-wee is cool, but that's like, Paul Rubens, that's his own thing.
Right.
You know, he has ultimate say on that. Mm-hmm. This is like Tim Burton gets his first and final say
right.
on Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And then later he gets to do it with others.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
A couple things that I did really like is I mentioned the afterlife or the waiting room or whatever. I felt like there was a lot of creativity there in terms of the other characters that you see that are all really fun. It felt a little commentary-ish. I don't think that it was maybe purposeful. I think it was like, these are people die. Let's show them like that. And like in doing so, do you think it provides a commentary because of the characters they show? Like there's the smoker. And then there's that like adventurer guy who has the shrunken head.
Yeah, the shrunken head.
What are they trying to say with that?
Don't go on adventures.
Don't like, manifest destiny is bad?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. That's an interesting thing. I think, like, the closest, the most concrete example for that, for me, would be what we said, like, people who commit suicide are service workers or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm not coming down neither condoning or whatever. Right. Like, yeah. Suicide, like, all commentary on suicide aside, I think that's an interesting thing to think right. about. Like, what do people who, you know, because they have examples of that all throughout history. Like, Dante's Inferno mm-hmm. has, like, what are the people, you know,
right.
doing in the afterlife, uh-huh. basically, who commit suicide or whatever they end up doing. So, I don't know, but I don't know if the other ones were, like, so much commentary.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just trying to be creative.
Yeah, I think it was just an interesting thing. I liked the, like, there was the, whatever, the woman who got sawn in half.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know why she always sat away from her legs, so that someone's always sitting right. between, I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. And the football team.
There was a football team who yeah. didn't know they died.
They were so cute.
Yeah.
Sweet. They're football men.
Sweet, naive yeah. football players. And then the guy who's on the
line.
Ropes or whatever.
Yeah, who, since he's a public service, he must have, like, purposely got run over by a truck.
In, yeah, I was just about to say that. Did he die? I guess so. Like, he jumped in front of a truck.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then later on, there's an even more macabre one that's, like, it's just the guy on a noose.
Yeah.
And he delivers a file, like, throws yeah. it as he's, like, rotating. Oh, right. boy.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. I would have liked to spend more time in that world.
I think so, too. Because that felt like a realized world.
Yeah.
Where, like, answers really can be established there.
Right.
And I think that's why Juno is so disappointing. Because she is, like, the pinnacle of this, and then she doesn't really provide
yeah, she doesn't
anything
provide
we
anything.
Need.
Right. And it would have been interesting to, like, if they moved... Like, if they'd moved there... So they die, they go to this afterlife,
right.
and Juno's like, here's your job, or whatever, and like, blah, 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 and then that propels them to be like, this job sucks.
Right.
Because you can see, everybody's miserable.
Yeah.
It's bureaucratic, it's boring.
It's unorganized.
It's unorganized.
Awful.
There are piles
yeah.
of papers. I was driving me nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys have eternity to do this.
Right.
Why is paper piling up?
Fix it.
Fix it now. Like, have no organizers
right.
died. You know, yeah. I don't know, it was very strange.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where's Steve Jobs?
Right. Oh, God.
Sorry.
Too soon.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. But they get a job, and then that propels them to be like, can we just go back?
Right.
And then they read the manual, and they're like, you can go back,
yeah,
but you have to haunt this house for 125 years,
mm-hmm.
and you also have to keep, you have to get these people out.
Right.
So they realize that to get these people out, they have to haunt them, and,
yeah.
you know, they're like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think that being stuck in the same house for 125 years would be boring. I'm not gonna suggest that, like, it wouldn't be... You
right.
wouldn't get stir crazy.
But that's all they wanted.
That's all they wanted.
Yeah.
And they were given it. And,
yeah.
like, you have everything in your house. I guess they change your house, but there's just... I feel like there's enough to their
At their...
oh.
Oh, boy. Disposal?
Yes.
Okay.
I said exposal.
You said exposal, which was...
not a word.
That could be a new one.
Yep.
No.
At their exposal.
Right.
Disposal.
Yes.
To keep them occupied, to, like, at least give them some curiosity for a little while.
Right.
Or, like, if it were me, if I had died...
Okay, if you died.
I feel like I would have some time where it's like, okay, this is the worst, I just died. And then you go through a phase where it's like, it's not that bad, I'm still with the man that I love
right.
in our house.
Right.
Let's, like, hang out and do the stupid things that you don't want to waste time doing. Like, comparing your feet. Or, you know, like, just do, like, lovey-dovey things.
Comparing your feet?
That's the only thing I can think
of. Oh, my God.
Wow. Now you all know what
you're
gonna
be
really
all set.
To
you're
going to
be all set for the afterlife if that's where you're starting. just compare our feet.
Learn Spanish. You know, like, expand your brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
And
you
I also,
don't have to, but...
No, and I also think, like, because, like, time is irrelevant... They're not going to feel the passage of time, so it's like,
yeah,
you can do it. And you
just stay yeah. there for a little while. Haunt some people for fun. Like, this doesn't have to be that bad.
Right. Yeah, it got bad.
Yeah.
And how about the math test?
You have got to be kidding me. We spent the whole week studying for that test.
I got an A.
Did you have any WTF moments?
There's one where, when they first discover that they're that you can't see them
yeah.
in the mirror, she's like, look at this. She brings them over to the mantle and it's just horses.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because there's those horse people. And she totally would have been a horse person. Ladies who, like, their whole bedrooms were horses and they had horse posters.
Yeah.
And, like, they take wedding pictures with their horses. You know those people?
It's, like, scary.
She totally would have been one of those.
She would have been those horse people. Yeah.
So funny.
I love that because of how seriously it's played. That, like, that was her scientific test, was like, look at this. And she, like, picks up the horse. It was like, look. And, like, in response, Alec Baldwin just waves his hand in front of it. And I'm like, you already can't see your face. Like, what more experiment do you need?
Exactly.
So my understanding of that scene is Gina Davis stood in front of the mirror, couldn't see herself, then waved in front of it and was like, huh, she still wasn't sure. And then grabbed the closest thing, which happened to be a horse figurine, and go like this across the mirror. I'm pretending that it's galloping for listeners across a mantle. And then she's like, oh no.
I'm dead.
Took her 3 attempts to figure that out. Very strange.
It's very strange.
Yeah. I like that moment a lot.
Another one that's funny. That was pointed out to me by my roommate when we watched this. She, Winona Ryder, tries the key. Oh, we still have to talk about the ending.
Oh, yes.
But
okay.
She tries the key. Yes. And then they knock it out.
I know what you're going to say.
And then she uses a screwdriver.
Yes.
And my roommate was like, she still has the key.
Right. It's just on the floor.
Yeah.
All right. So what about
the
ending?
The ending.
Yeah.
My question about the ending is, I get Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin. I have no idea what these characters' names are, any of them, aside from Lydia and Beetlejuice.
I think they're Adam and I don't remember.
Oh, Adam and, I don't know, but
who,
Adam.
Who cares?
You're right, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? Dahlia is the wife.
Delia? Is it Delia or Dahlia?
Delia, yeah. But I get why they're stoked, because they got what they wanted. They got to be in their house.
Right.
They get to be, like... They get to do what I suggested they should do from all along, which is, like, chill in their house.
Just chill out.
Continue to live.
Yeah.
But why is Lydia so happy? Because she has parents she likes now?
Yeah.
It just, like, wrapped up in a weird bow for me.
Isn't that uncomfortable for the parents? They were oddly okay with basically new parents replacing them.
Yeah. And that she was, like, super stoked with these new parents.
Yeah.
And also, where are they? Like, where is the dad?
The dad's in his weird room that he didn't want Delia to remodel. Yeah. Which is, like, upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So
they just coexist in the house now?
Yeah.
Because it kind of looks like the ghosts took over the house.
Yeah, and they relegated them to that one room.
Yeah.
Because I also think Delia's also sculpting in that room.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
I thought maybe at first that it had just shifted and they were like, you can have the attic and we'll take the house back.
Right.
But I don't think that's the case either.
I don't think so. No, because they come home, when Lydia comes home, they're there. They're in the living room or whatever.
They help her study.
They help her study.
They just, like, totally parent her.
But I guess that is ultimately what everybody wanted. Like, Lydia was not happy.
So.
Lydia was not happy with her parents, and they didn't seem all that stoked to be parents.
That's true.
Like, he just wanted to relax.
Yeah.
And she wanted to sculpt.
Be delusional.
Right.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you argue she's a good sculptor by the end? Because she sculpts that snake.
That thing.
The Beetlejuice snake.
That's
by the
true.
End.
She does really work on her craft.
Yeah.
And it comes a long way.
So
I guess everyone did get what they wanted.
Yeah.
Except Lydia, who has no clear wants.
Right. Yeah.
Except to stay alive or die. We don't know.
No, she doesn't want to die anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Now that she has her new parents.
Right. Also, I think Winona Ryder is a little creepier when she's happy.
Yeah.
Than when she's sad.
Yeah.
When
she's also the world's most awkward dancer, I will say. I understand that she's floating halfway in the air, but she is very awkward to watch. I was very uncomfortable watching that.
When she says, like, just kidding, I got an A, I was like, oh,
Ooh. This
is awkward.
Yeah.
I don't like you. Happy.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah.
It was very strange. I like that there's a school for girls just in this tiny, tiny town. No boy children.
Right.
That I could see.
No boy children.
Yeah. I guess that's why there's only girl school.
Yeah. It's a weird place. No boys.
Yep. Final thoughts. Beetlejuice. Sum it up.
Rewrite it. Rework it. This is a good first draft.
Okay.
It needs to be workshopped a couple more times. Maybe take out Beetlejuice. Give me a couple more moments of real people.
Yeah.
working through real things.
I'd be very interested of a reboot of Beetlejuice, but Tim Burton helms it again. Oh, okay.
I just gave him kind of a stink.
I know. Because he's a better director.
That's true.
He's more,
yeah,
you know, more confident,
I guess,
more fully realized.
The last Tim Burton movie I saw was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay, well, don't go off that, because that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's the that ruined everything for everyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why we can't have nice things.
That's anymore. Why.
Yep.
Yep. Your final thoughts?
My final thoughts, I didn't love it as much as I remembered loving it back when I was a kid, but I also think, like, A, that's mixed in with my delusions of writing better movies in my head, which I you've psychotherapied me right now, just now in this episode, that's what happens. But also, like, I love the cartoon. The cartoon's a much better representation of what I think, like, it could have been.
The cartoon, just your sentence telling me about the cartoon makes more sense than the movie did.
Yeah. It's basically, like, Casper... You know, Casper is friends with a human or anything. Like, it was just a buddy kind of cartoon show, and they do go back and forth between the it's called the Neither World. I remember that they add the extra I into the name, in the cartoon and the real world.
Yeah.
So and there's even several adventures where it's just Beetlejuice.
Oh.
So and I think it captures that tone much more.
Yeah.
Of, like, it's just fun-loving, and it's comedy, and he's almost like this genie kind of character, like, from Aladdin. So it's like, he's got these powers, and he's kind of mischievous, but then he tries to help out people, and he's always very protective of Lydia, but it's like, it's much more of it's much more of a friendship thing, as opposed to anything else. So, that's all mixed in, but yeah. I still enjoy... I think I just love Michael Keaton, so I think, like, I'm willing to forgive an awkward sort of movie just to see Michael Keaton in it.
Just to see an unrecognizable Michael Keaton.
Fantastic. Anyway, so that's Unseen Footage. That's episode 6. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body. Rock your body, child. Jump in the line, rock your body in time. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all.